like to invite all of us to stand for the gospel this morning. Come to us from the Gospel of John. Early, on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone that had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along beside him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Simon, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with this news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told him that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And now let's turn to the Apostles' Creed, sharing it together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. The plane rolled to a stop. And baggage handlers immediately began their work. You've seen it many times. They began taking off the luggage from underneath the belly of the plane as the passengers got off. Then they did their work. They came to a pet carrier, which had been flying with them. They took the pet carrier and began to bring it in when they realized, to their horror, that the dog inside the pet carrier was dead. Immediately, they thought they must have done something wrong, perhaps if they would lose their jobs or there would be a lawsuit. So they immediately hatched this strange plan. They decided that they would tell the owner that the pet carrier was diverted mistakenly to another city. Now, that's realistic, isn't it? And they would find another animal exactly the same to replace the dog. So, they got the message to the owner, told her the dog would be delivered in a day or so. They went out and found the exact replica dog of the pet that had died. Within 24 hours, they were standing at the door with this dog. And when the owner looked at the dog, she immediately said, "That's not my dog. My dog's dead. I was bringing it back home to be buried." So we begin Easter with a resurrected dog. There are many fun stories of Easter. One I like comes out of a passion play out in Missouri. The passion play is presented for tourists on a regular basis there. And one story that comes out is that for one week that the passion play was being offered, as tourists would come and watch the entire week of Jesus' life, with, of course, Jesus carrying the cross on his way to be crucified. On one particular day, a tourist decided to start really ridiculing Jesus. I mean, he was yelling at him and cursing him and spitting on him, really getting into it. And at one point, the character playing Jesus started to put the cross down. He was getting really ticked off at it because he thought better of it. But the second day, the next day, as he continued doing his acting part, the same tourist was there, yelling and screaming at him, spitting at him. And he put the cross down and said, "I'm going to see you after the resurrection." Well, now, none of us would approve of conflict during the passion play. But I want to suggest to you that there is some conflict going on in the minds of a lot of Christians. The conflict has to do with how much you and others really truly believe that Christ rose from the dead. We live in a very cynical society, with everything as being questioned. The percentage of people who claim themselves as atheists is increasing. And I talk to people on a regular basis who say, "You know, I just can't buy it. I need proof." One person's response to those who say, "I'm not so sure because I don't have any proof," is this. They said, "You and I, as Americans, believe thousands of pieces of information that have far less historical proof behind them than the resurrection. For example, we are told that in 1492, Columbus put foot in the Americas, right? We've heard that for a long time. Well, how do you know that? Were you there? How do you know that? You have a picture? How do you know that? Except that somebody was there, and then they told somebody else about the fact that they were there, and they told somebody else, and they told somebody else, and on and on and on. And so, when the matter of resurrection comes up, what we know is that some 500 people saw Jesus after he came back from death. 500 people. And they told someone else. And they told someone else. And then they told someone else and someone else. And guess what? Here I am telling you again today. You see, we have proof. The proof, if ever you have any question in your mind that this is real, the proof is in the fact that those first disciples who were with Jesus were changed people. Before, they were fearful, insecure, cowardly. You remember, Peter denied him, the others ran away. After the crucifixion, they hid behind locked doors, fearing they too would be killed. But then, Mary goes to the tomb. She thinks she's going to take care of the body. Instead, remember, you've been told already, when she got there, the stone was moved away. There was no body. But Jesus had been dead. She saw him. Never doubt that Jesus was dead. Romans were excellent at killing people. They did it all the time. Jesus was surely dead. But then, that fascinating moment, not only the empty tomb, but after the other disciples go and tell all the people in their surprise what, in fact, they have seen or not seen, he hears a voice. And the voice has a strange familiarity to it. And she turns and isn't quite so sure. So this must be the gardener, because this was a garden. And so she asks, if you've taken the body for whatever reason, just tell me where you put it. I'll take care of it, please. He was a friend of mine. And then he says, in a voice that is undeniable, Mary. And she recognizes and knows this is Jesus. Imagine the surprise. Imagine the surprise of the disciples who have run away in fear, now running to tell others Christ is alive again. Surprise after surprise. There was this great explosion of surprise that whole morning as the word spread. This past week, my wife and I had the joy of taking care of our grandchildren for a whole day without the parents. And we passed. I want you to know that. I was really worried about that, but we passed. And Michaela, age 4, wanted to play games. Well, you know, we don't get to see our grandkids too often, so whatever you want, Michaela, the game, we'll play. So she said, here's the game. You sit here, Grandpa, and I'm sitting with my paper, and I'll go out of the room, and I'll come running back and scare you, and you act surprised. So she runs out, and she goes pretty far away, and I'm sitting there with my paper, and she comes back. She gets to the doorway and goes, boom! And of course, I act surprised. People go flying in. And then she says, let's do it again. Okay. They realize I don't have to work very hard at this, so okay. And she does it again. I acted surprised pretty well the second time, too. But by the 37th time, it was really hard to show the same level of surprise. But the surprise in the lives of the disciples and those who saw Jesus, the 500, was real. And once the surprise ended and they began to fully accept what had happened, that as he said, Jesus had come back, surprise turned to action. And these disciples then were changed. Because you see, when you truly believe that Christ is risen, things change. And so they changed. Instead of hiding behind locked doors, they boldly came out to share the news. Instead of worrying about whether or not they might be executed next, they proudly went forth to tell their family and friends it was true. We've seen it. Instead of being cowards, they were turned into the brave band of early Christians who started the first church. And here we are, 2,000 years later, in that same great procession of telling the story. When you truly believe something, things change. If you truly believe, I mean, are absolutely convinced that Christ is risen, then your whole attitude about life can change. Life no longer lacks meaning or purpose. You no longer wonder whether or not there's any reason for you to be here. You don't have to worry about whether things are going to happen that are bad or not, because even if they do, the risen Christ says, I'll be with you always. Things change once you believe that Christ is risen. I don't know what you're facing right now, but I would guess that there's some people here, and I know in other cases there are people here, who are facing cancer, who have families that are falling apart, who are seeing changes in body, in relationships, in jobs, and thus a future that is uncertain. I know in other cases, hopes that once were held high are fading fast. Finances that were once secure are falling apart. You can add your details to the list. Life is hard, folks. I know that. And so do you. But when you truly believe that Christ is risen, and you truly believe, therefore, that Christ is with you, nothing can separate you from the assurance that you will get through it. And if you watch the proof, I want you to meet Nick. Nick was born with a disease. A very, very rare disease. A disease that causes a baby to be born without any arms or any legs. But Nick truly believes that Christ was risen. And so I want you to listen to him as he tells you how he lives such a life. Listen.
Hi, I'm Nick Wojcik from the Ministry of Life Without Limits. I love you so much, and I want you to know that many people look at me and say, wow, Nick, I can't imagine my life without arms and legs. Well, I believe that it's worse losing a loved one than having no limbs. Or it's worse having limbs and then being disabled in some way. John Erickson Tata is such a huge role model, an example of how God can take your brokenness and make something beautiful in his time. Trusting in God for that timing is hard, but what I want to talk about is this. Not being afraid. You know how many times we've seen the word, do not be afraid, do not be afraid, do not be afraid. Many, many times. It's hard not to be disabled with fear. F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. You know, there are some rational fears, but then there are some irrational. There are things that my parents were afraid of, and in not knowing what kind of life their son without limbs would be able to do by the grace of God. Not knowing what God had in mind, that was disabling. You can have arms and legs, you can have money, you can have things on the outside that you think are going to make you complete and successful. But I want you to know that without the peace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and knowing who you are and why you're here on earth, you're more disabled than I. We look at our outside and we think, oh my goodness, I'm so disabled. Oh, I wish I had this, I wish I had that. No, when you go in faith, faith will give you courage. If you have faith in God, he will give you that courage and grace to go afraid. When you go, G-O, in front of that word disabled, it spells God is able. I love that. Don't you? I don't know how it feels to have an alcoholic father. I don't know how it feels to have a mother and father divorce. I don't know how it feels to lose a sibling. I don't know how you feel. But God does. And I think the fear of being alone is the worst fear of all. Know that you're never alone. That God is with you. He's going to pull you through. He's going to be there. Always there to care. You may not feel his presence all the time. But hold on to that word, hold on to that truth, and cast out that fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. And there is no source other than the source of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That love that caused him to send his son, Jesus Christ, to come to the world to die on the cross, that those who believe in him shall be saved. That love, that God, that's the God I serve. That's the love that casts out all of my fear. Am I scared sometimes? Absolutely. Am I nervous sometimes? Absolutely. Are there unexpected things that happen in my life that I don't understand sometimes? Absolutely. But God is working with me. And his love will never change for me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He's a father to the fathers. And he'll never fail me. Love you so much. God bless you.
You and I can begin to imagine that next step, what it's like. You know, I've known people with far, far less problems who spend so much of their lives angry at God, wondering why this happened to them, rather than simply trusting that whatever happens, God is with us because Christ is risen. I hope this will inspire you to remember to live a life of faith, no matter what you're facing, because when you truly believe, your attitude toward life changes, and you understand you can do anything with the help of God. The other thing that changes when we truly believe the empty tomb is real is that our attitude about death changes. I've spent many, many hours with people who were dying. People who were soon to leave this earth, people who were on the road and it took a long time. That's what pastors often do. And I want you to know this, that when I'm with people of deep and abiding faith, and they are facing the last lap on their earthly journey, there comes a peace and a contentment that they know what is happening is not the end, that they are simply getting ready for their graduation, moving on to what God has in store for them in the next and final home. You see, Jesus said in God, as there are many rooms, there's room for all of us. Someday we'll take our place. And you and I will vote. And when we get there, we'll see those who've gone before us. And that's our certain and sure faith. And when you truly believe that Christ is risen, your attitude towards death changes. You no longer have this dread or this fear. You no longer have to worry about it or wonder when it's going to happen. Because whenever it comes, and it will to us all, God has a plan. And that's the great truth of the empty tomb. And that plan is for eternity in a place that we cannot begin to imagine. Once the pastor was on a plane, and as he flew, he realized he was sitting next to a gentleman who seemed to have a heavy heart. And the pastor said, "How are you doing today?" He instigated a conversation. The man acknowledged that he had just gone through a recent loss. His dear son, a little boy, had died. The pastor simply said, "Tell me about it." And the man who was sitting right next to the window began a conversation that this little boy came home from school one day. He had a sore throat and some minor indications of being sick, but then it turned serious. The doctor did some tests. They found out it was meningitis, a form that was deadly and irreversible. And they said to the parents, "We will not be able to save him. He's going to die." The father said to the pastor on the plane, so he then took up vigil as our little boy quickly began to fade from this earth. He spent most of his time in bed. "And I sat next to his bed all the time," said the daddy. And at one point, the little boy, knowing that he was going to die, said, "Daddy, it's beginning to get very dark." "Yes, son," said the father, "it's getting very, very dark." The little boy then turned to his father and said, "Is it time for me to go to sleep now, Daddy?" "Yes," said the father, "it's time for you to go to sleep, son." The man said, "My little boy always had a habit when he went to sleep at night of arranging his pillow in a certain way, putting his hands underneath his head, laying them on his pillow. And he rearranged the pillow, put his hands under his head, lay down that little sweet head, and then said, I'll see you in the morning, Daddy. And he closed his eyes. And he woke up in heaven. The father on the plane looked out the window, said the pastor, and he didn't speak for a long time. But then when he did, he turned back and with tears in his eyes, he said to the pastor, "You know, I can't wait until this morning." Such is our faith, my friends. Morning comes. That is the reality of the empty tomb. And may for you this day it become a reminder that if you truly believe, life nor death are ever the same again. Will you pray with me? With amazing gratitude, Lord God, once again, we bow in humility, simply thanking you for the empty tomb. Thanking you for your great and abiding heart of love for each of us, to reveal to us your plan for life, life abundant as we live the years of our lives, your plan for death, as you provide a way for us to move on to the next stage, and your plan for eternal life, our home which awaits us. Strengthen our faith this day. Help us truly believe and to live as if we do. Amen.